This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Have you received your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Good. But if you already took your mask, shoved it in a drawer somewhere, well, you may need to pull it out. Don't put it away just yet. The CDC announced yesterday that more Americans should be wearing masks indoors, even if they're fully vaccinated. While two doses of the mRNA shots are still the best protection against COVID-19, all but guaranteeing most people won't end up in the hospital or deathly ill from disease, so-called breakthrough infections are still possible, particularly with the Delta variant spreading across much of the U.S. And with about half of the U.S. population not fully vaccinated, hotspots of the illness are emerging and cases are notching up again. So the CDC is updating its advice to Americans. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky spoke during a phone press briefing yesterday. She stressed once again the importance of getting vaccinated, which protects against all variants of COVID-19, even the now predominant Delta variant, which she called an opportunist. And then she laid out some new guidelines.
In areas with substantial and high transmission, CDC recommends fully vaccinated people wear masks in public indoor settings to help prevent the spread of the Delta variant and protect others.
This was an update of the CDC's previous recommendations back in May, which said fully vaccinated Americans no longer had to wear masks indoors. And there was another important update to the guidelines yesterday for students, teachers, and parents.
CDC recommends that everyone in K-12 schools wear a mask indoors, including teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status.
And this comes after a number of Illinois school districts have been getting attention for announcing that masks would be optional this fall. Yesterday, the Illinois Department of Public Health said it would adopt the CDC's recommendations for schools and mask wearing in public indoors, even for those who are fully vaccinated, in counties where the virus is surging. Listeners, we want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is our number. How are you feeling about the CDC's new masking recommendations? 800-222-9455. Are you glad that masks will be required in schools, or at least that's the recommendation? And should they be required in more places? 800-222-9455. Let us know what you think, like this voicemail we got last night.
Hello, this is Joe from Urbana. I am a local councillor, and I think it's appalling that we're not getting vaccinated. I think we have vaccinations available, and why people are choosing not to get vaccinated is just a travesty. I think we're putting our children at risk. Yes, children are not very susceptible to a lot of the major infections, but many children are still dying or getting very, very ill. Why are we so selfish? Get vaccinated, please. Please get vaccinated.
Thanks for that, Joe. Again, we want to hear from you about masks, the vaccine, and how the virus is spreading. Join our conversation, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. To get a teacher's perspective on this, we're joined now by Gladys Marquez. She's taught English learners for the past two decades at all grade levels and is now at Dwight D. Eisenhower High School in Blue Island, Illinois, in the south suburbs of Chicago. Gladys, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me here this morning. Yes, I am a high school educator, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that we're having this very important discussion.
We're also joined by Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the SIU School of Medicine. Dr. Sundaresan, thank you for being here again as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Dr. Sundaresan, I want to begin with you. Who should be wearing masks now based on these new guidelines?
According to the updated guidelines as of yesterday, when CDC announced this on a press conference at around 3 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, that irrespective of vaccination status, we should be wearing masks in areas where the transmission is very high. And when we talk about high transmission, we refer to the total number of cases per 100,000. So if it is in the ballpark of 100 cases per 100,000 per week, in those case, those areas with high transmission, irrespective of the vaccination status, we should be wearing masks just because of this new Delta variant that is circulating in high numbers now.
Do you really think people are going to be looking up transmission rates in their county? How, like, what is there a rule of thumb people can use for that without having to sort of navigate the State Department of Public Health or the CDC website and that sort of thing?
Well, I think it's pretty much everywhere that we are in the substantial or high transmission rates right now. And the local health departments are also very useful in helping navigate that information.
So in yesterday's news conference from the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky also said the vaccine is still incredibly effective in preventing cases of the Delta variant, but said that this variant is a little more worrisome. Here's what she had to say about that.
The Delta variant is showing every day its willingness to outsmart us and to be an opportunist in areas where we have not shown a fortified response against it.
Dr. Sundaresan, can you talk a little bit about the Delta variant and whether it's or why it should be of additional concern to people, even those who are vaccinated, possibly?
Right. So WHO and CDC talk about certain variants, the mutations that occur in the virus as variants of concern. When we talk about variants of concern, they refer to the viral properties being that they are extremely transmissible, they may cause more severe disease, and they have the ability to evade the immunity from vaccination. So all these three have kind of been addressed for the various variants of concern, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, that have been circulating. Delta particularly is extremely transmissible. We think that the ability of this virus to transmit to anyone that's in contact with an infected person is about 6 to 8 times higher. So extremely transmissible. And it's 50% even more transmissible than the alpha strain, which in itself was thought to be more transmissible. So that's unique about this. It does cause severe disease. So people can get hospitalized when they have infections with the Delta strain. And then the third part is about the immunity or the immune response you get with vaccination. There is a little bit decreased antibody response against the Delta strains with the different vaccines. They have studied the mRNA vaccines in UK, and there's data from Canada, and they talk about the efficacy being anywhere from 65% to 88%. So it's not as high as 96% or 98% that we had seen earlier with the mRNA vaccines. And the same is with J&J as well. We don't really have the number there, but the efficacy is reduced, but they are still effective against the Delta virus, but the efficacy is reduced.
Gladys Marquez, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Yesterday, the CDC also updated its guidance on students, staff, teachers, anyone in school buildings should wear a mask regardless of the vaccination status, they said. What was your response to that announcement?
Well, as educators, we will always err on the side of caution and support any initiative that ensures the safety of our students and educational communities. As educators, we believe in science and we support the CDC's decision. The bottom line is that we need to double down on our preventative efforts to help stop the spread of this deadly virus. The last thing we want is for our students or educators to become ill. The CDC's report outlined data that highlighted the fact that vaccinated people could be carrying even higher levels of the virus than had previously understood, and could potentially transmit this virus to others. Now think about what that looks like in our classrooms. We know that across the nation, we have been encouraging those that qualify for the vaccine to get vaccinated. And even with those efforts, we currently oscillate here in Illinois at around 48.2%. That means that your chances of interacting with an unvaccinated individual are pretty high. Factor in the transmissibility rate of the Delta variant and the reality of overpopulated, under-resourced classrooms across the state. And this could potentially be a recipe for a disaster, considering the fact that most children under the age of 12, actually all children under the age of 12 have not been vaccinated and could be potentially exposed to peers or educators that could potentially be carriers of this vaccine is definitely cause for concern. It is my belief that we need to mask up and make sure that we protect our students and our educational communities.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking now about the CDC's updated guidelines, urging masking indoors, even for the fully vaccinated in areas with substantial spread of COVID-19. They're also recommending masks in all K-12 schools for everyone entering the building, regardless of vaccination status. We're joined by Gladys Marquez, a teacher at Eisenhower High School in Blue Island, and Vithya Sundaresan, physician in infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. And I'd also like to welcome another voice to the conversation now. Dr. Tina Tan is a professor of pediatrics at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University and an attending physician for the Division of Infectious Diseases at Lurie Children's Hospital. Dr. Tan, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being with us.
No, thank you.
And listeners, once again, 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. If you have a question about COVID-19 or a comment about the new CDC guidelines, 800-222-9455. And I'm going to go now to Barb is on line 2 from Springfield. Barb, thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Brian. I enjoy listening to your show. Hey, I have not read this and I missed the first part of this, but do we know if vaccinated individuals who test positive for COVID, whether it's the Delta variant or not, can they pass that to other unvaccinated or other people? And just a comment about kids in the classroom. I know the littles especially don't have a huge chance of getting the virus or getting very sick with it. And I'm concerned from the beginning about, and obviously the health, their health is the most important, but just the mental aspect of not, you know, when I'm face to face with someone with a mask and I have one on, I can't tell if they're smiling. I can't hear them as well because I depend on reading lips, not because I can't hear, but because I just think we underestimate how much we depend on facial cues to understanding. And I'm just concerned that, especially with these young kids, my daughter's been a teacher for 6 years, so we talk about this all the time.
And being able to see the face. All right, Barbara, thank you so much for the call. Let's divide those into two, maybe, and we'll come back to the idea about masking in kids and maybe the negative consequences of that. But I want to start with this idea of increased viral load, even among the vaccinated. And Dr. Tan, do you have a information or a perspective on that? Can people who are vaccinated pass along the virus, especially for those of us like myself, who's a parent with two children who are not eligible to be vaccinated yet? So not everyone who's unvaccinated is so by choice at this point. I would like to emphasize that. If I am, as somebody who's fully vaccinated, if I, you know, breathe in COVID-19, can I pass, or SARS-CoV-2, I guess, can I pass that on to my children?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the more that we learn about the Delta variant, which now makes up about 83% of the cases of COVID circulating in the U.S. today, we know that this particular variant can infect individuals that are fully vaccinated. And these are known as the breakthrough cases. And yes, you can transmit the virus to individuals that are either unvaccinated or susceptible to getting the virus.
And so is that an argument? I think one of the additional CDC guidelines that came out yesterday then was that not only if you're in an area that has high transmission of COVID-19, you should mask indoors, even if you're vaccinated. But even if you're not in one of those areas, if you live with people who are vulnerable or unvaccinated, you should continue masking indoors. Do I have that right?
That is correct. So if you live in a household where somebody is immunocompromised or has an underlying condition that places them at higher risk for severe disease with COVID-19, or if you have young children in the house, even if you are vaccinated and you don't have high rates in the community, to protect yourself and those individuals, you should be masking whenever you go indoors to a store, wherever you might be, to the mall. You should would be wearing a mask.
And Dr. Sundaresan, is that possible even if the vaccinated person gets the SARS-CoV-2 in their system? Maybe they're asymptomatic. Maybe they don't even have a full-on breakthrough infection where they're, you know, have the symptoms of COVID-19. Do we know, is it still possible to pass along the virus to somebody who's unvaccinated, even in that circumstance?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, a lot of the guidelines in the workplace even otherwise now, there is always a risk of people who are vaccinated transmitting the virus to unvaccinated or at-risk individuals. And we're referring to people who are immunocompromised, people who haven't gotten their vaccines, who are not eligible, kids, and people of advanced age. We are seeing some evidence of waning immunity with age, immunocompromised, they're not able to mount that response, and then children who are not able to get the vaccine. So absolutely.
All right, before we take a break, I want to mention we asked our texting group about this, what they thought of the new CDC guidelines. We heard from Sherry, who said, "I'm fully vaccinated and really never stopped masking. I trust the vaccine. I don't trust people." Sherry also said she supports masking in school and talked about potentially, how this plays into athletic and non-athletic competitions at schools. We also heard from Marlene in Urbana, who said, "I resume wearing a mask when the Delta variant was announced in the county. Common sense to me. No one had to tell me to do that." Listeners, we want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is our number. 800-222-9455. We're speaking with Dr. Tina Tan, Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, and Gladys Marquez, who's a teacher, a high school teacher in Blue Island, Illinois, about the latest CDC guidelines around masking and schools and COVID-19. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the revised CDC guidelines that came out Tuesday afternoon, urging masks for people who are vaccinated in areas with high transmission of COVID-19, as well as people who live in households. Even if transmission is not necessarily high in one's area, if you live in a household with people who are unvaccinated or otherwise vulnerable to COVID-19, they also should be masking in public. The CDC also urged schools, everybody who enters a school, teachers, students, staff, to wear a mask this school year. And that comes after a number of Illinois school districts, public schools, as well as Catholic schools across Illinois, at least, and probably others that I'm just not aware of, have announced masks would be optional this fall. We're waiting to see. We had invited a number of, I believe it was 6 different school districts to come and join our conversation to talk about their decisions around this. They either did not get back to us. One of them declined to join our conversation. So we're waiting to see if they may revise some of their guidelines on that. We want to hear from you at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're talking about this with Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who's Chief of Infectious Diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, as well as Dr. Tina Tan, who's Professor of Pediatrics at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University, also affiliated with the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, and Gladys Marquez, who's a teacher of English language learners at Dwight Eisenhower High School in Blue Island, Illinois. And Gladys, I want to ask you, we had a text message from one of our listeners who said that they have a 15-year-old son in high school in Jacksonville, in central Illinois. He was fully vaccinated mid-June. I don't think we'd be discussing this at all for high school and junior high if parents would do their part and get their eligible children vaccinated. It's unfortunate we find ourselves in this situation when we have the privilege in this country of easy access to a vaccine. Thank you to the listener. I don't have her name in front of me who sent that text in. Gladys, what do you think about that? Should vaccines be required for students COVID vaccines be required for students in high school, in your view?
In my opinion, yes, they should be required. I know that right now, you know, we're debating about whether people should or shouldn't be vaccinated, but in all honesty, in order to keep our educational community safe, it is very important that every child that qualifies, you know, over the age of 12, be vaccinated. We know that the transmissibility rates in schools that are very ethnically diverse, specifically around, you know, the area that I teach, where it's over 90% children of color, you know, the transmissibility rate is very high. And as educators, you know, as I mentioned before, our goal is to make sure that everyone is safe. So in my opinion, yes, I do believe that students should be vaccinated and that we should truly have the discussion about making vaccination mandatory.
And I wonder if you also have a perspective on what Barb, the caller we had before the break, who mentioned that masks are detrimental to kids, you know, maybe developmentally or just in their sort of experience of school, in that, you know, it's so important to have that face-to-face contact. I know you work at high school now, but I understand you've taught other lower grade levels earlier in your career. What is your perspective on that?
I have taught multiple grade levels, but I also have an immunocompromised child. And I know that it's going to be difficult for them going back. The social emotional well-being, the ability to interact in a normal setting is definitely not there. And it can't be, given the fact that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. But we must put their health and well-being first. We must make sure that they are all safe and that they don't take home COVID from school to their families and get others sick as well. So this is going to be a team effort, and it's going to require all of us doubling down on the efforts to make sure that we keep our community safe and make sure that, you know, we mask up.
Dr. Tina Tan, I want to ask you about vaccine requirements in schools. I mean, as a pediatrician, there must be, I don't know if you know the exact number off the top of your head, but there are a lot of required vaccines for going to school as it is, right?
Correct. There are. And basically, the vaccines that are required are to protect not only the individual, but to protect individuals around them. So example would be the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine, the MMR vaccine, things like that, the polio vaccine. All these vaccines are in place as mandatory in order to protect the individual and persons around them.
And Dr. Sundaresan, we have another caller on the line. Marianne is on the line from Elbourne. Marianne, thank you for calling in.
Hello. My question is, first of all, I understand that a vaccinated person, even though they may not be showing symptoms, can pass the virus to an unvaccinated person. But can a vaccinated person who is not showing symptoms pass it to a vaccinated person?
Yeah, okay.
I understand that you can pass it to an unvaccinated person, but can vaccinated pass to vaccinated?
That's a good question, Marianne. Thank you very much. Dr. Sundaresan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, a great question. So, you know, when we talk about passage of viruses from one person to another, it's what we inhale. The main portal of entry is the respiratory system for this virus, and what gets carried in the nasopharynx, in the nose, and with in vaccinated individuals, you tend not to get sick with it. You're able to deal with that. So the type of virus that you can transmit, one person may not be carrying the same type of virus as the other. So you're breathing in what's circulating. So absolutely possible to transmit this to another vaccinated individual. And that's probably one of the reasons why we are also seeing a lot of these breakthroughs now. Dr. Tan was referring to breakthrough infections, where we're seeing infection in people who are already vaccinated with or without symptoms. But we pick up those with symptoms when we test them. The new variant is also one of the things implicated as to why we're seeing an increase in number of breakthroughs, one of the things that's implicated there.
And we had another caller who couldn't stay on the line to go on air with us. But Charles, thank you for the call from Peoria. He said he had COVID in February, saw something about having the COVID antibodies should be good for a year and a half. Studies have shown if you have COVID antibodies, it's better than the vaccine, as he read anyway. So I guess, Dr. Tan, what is your perspective? Is having COVID, does that mean you don't need to get the vaccine? Should you get the vaccine? What is the recommendation on that?
That's a great question. And the recommendation currently is that anyone who previously had COVID should be getting the vaccine. There have been studies that have been done that have shown that the duration of antibodies with natural infection is less than that of what you see with vaccines. The other thing that we know is that vaccines actually provide you with more protection against the number of different variants out there, as opposed to if you had natural disease, where you get most of the protection against the variant that you had the disease with, which might not have been the Delta variant, but you may not be as protected against other variants that are circulating.
And we had another caller who dropped off, but Sean had called in earlier from Petersburg in Central Illinois and said that in terms of the schools and the masking, he thought it should be up to the superintendent of each school district as opposed to a statewide policy. Dr. Tan, I wonder what your, if you have a perspective on that, as in terms of, I mean, we know the CDC has said should, right? They use the word should, not shall. Yes. But I mean, the CDC doesn't have a police force. And there's been a lot of parsing of the language in the CDC recommendations, especially previously. I think they tried to be more unambiguous yesterday. But do you have a perspective on this idea? Should this be a uniform policy for all schools? Do you support what the CDC is doing here?
I definitely support what the CDC is doing. I support what the American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending, which is that there should be masking of all individuals in the school setting, which is students, teachers, staff, regardless of vaccination status. The major reason for this is that we know that kids under 12 years of age are not yet eligible for vaccines. So you're talking about all elementary school kids that are susceptible to COVID because they cannot be vaccinated. You're talking about nationwide, somewhere between 30 to 35% of kids between 12 and 17 years of age being fully vaccinated. So you can see that the majority of the kids in that age group are not vaccinated. And there are teachers and staff that have chosen not to be vaccinated. So because of that, you have a lot of susceptible individuals. And if you have an increased amount of COVID circulating in the community, this just places all these individuals at risk for becoming infected with the Delta variant of COVID-19. So because of that, I think masking is going to be one of the most important ways, in addition to other protective mitigation procedures, to prevent outbreaks of COVID from occurring in these individuals.
We have a couple more calls I think I want to try and get in before the end of the hour here. Nathan is on the line from Jacksonville. Nathan, thanks for calling in.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I'm going to try and make this real quick because I'm running out of time. But I was just wondering, with the new CDC guideline, everyone in my family is vaccinated. I am, my parents, my brother, wife, everybody, we're all vaccinated. But with the new CDC guidelines, I was wondering if, like, sporting events would be safe. Just, they're mostly outside, but with all the people, I didn't know if that would be, you know, so that's
yeah.
All.
All right. Good question, Nathan. Thank you. Dr. Sundaresan, I wonder about that. We also heard the governor is still planning to go to Lollapalooza, a big outdoor music concert up in the Chicago area where transmission is lower than it is downstate. But what is your perspective being outside in a sort of crowded setting like a sporting event or a concert?
Right. You know, ventilation is an important thing with COVID and transmission. So outdoor is safer than indoor, for sure. But, you know, when you have many people, we've seen in the past that even with our mitigation and when we reopened, we did it very slowly within phases. and increasing the capacity slowly. So definitely that plays a part as well. Regarding safety at this point, as we gather more information on exactly what our rates are of the circulating viruses and the Delta strain specifically, that I think will be better highlighted, and hope we have more guidance in terms of gathering sizes and crowds. But I would say, going by our past experience, going to crowded places, is, even if they're outdoor, do carry quite a lot of risk.
Gladys, can I ask you, as we're coming to the end of our conversation, have you or do you plan to talk to your students and their parents about getting the vaccine, and how do you do that?
Oh, most definitely. I did last spring, you know, when I was sharing information about vaccination sites, virtual platforms where they could sign up for vaccination. I talked to them about how they could stay safe, you know, how to exercise caution when in, you know, big groups. I think it's our responsibility as educators to make sure that our students understand and are cognizant about the severity of this virus.
And Dr. Tan, I think a lot of people were hoping this summer would be sort of what did the president call it? A summer of joy. But it seems like we're moving in the wrong direction in a lot of parts of the country and a lot of parts of Illinois. Do you have any final words of advice for people as they're trying to figure out how much to be in the world people are getting vaccinated? Go ahead.
I really think that individuals that are eligible for vaccination need to seriously consider getting vaccinated. This is the only way that we're going to be able to get some control over this virus. I think that with the amount of the Delta variant increasing all throughout the U.S., that people should again start wearing their mask when they're indoors. This is going to be especially important as children go back to school. And, you know, this virus is always trying to find a way to infect someone. So if we are able to adhere to vaccination and we're able to put into place these mitigation protocols, we're going to be able to slow the transmission of the virus, prevent it from mutating more, and basically get a better handle on the COVID-19 pandemic.
Dr. Tina Tan is professor of pediatrics at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University and also physician in infectious diseases at Lurie Children's Hospital. We've also been speaking with Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who's with infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, and Gladys Marquez, teacher at Eisenhower High School in Blue Island. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st. And that is all the time we have for our show. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.